Okay, I'm sick of waiting for these guys to get something done.
I'm sorry, I
my
can't
right open. Over here, which would be your left side of the screen, that would be Ryan. Over here is Kyle, they can't stop laughing. And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And forget what he intros, because this show's already off to train wreck. In this episode of the Tabletop
Battlefield!
Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we're going to do our best to salvage what we got in the episode here.
You'll have to forgive us. This episode's probably going to be pretty much a complete outtake as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, to some extent.
Depends.
You're probably right.
I mean, I think I got myself somewhat composed, but I mean, you haven't seen this, but it total meltdown. I mean, I usually don't do a meltdown.
Well, let's just start this episode off already.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, because I mean, we basically spent the last 10 minutes trying to get Ryan to have some level of composure. And when he breaks down laughs, Kyle breaks down laughs, and I get very angry at both of them.
And then you start laughing, though.
You know, it's going to be really funny to see the outtakes, because to see you, actually, I don't know what your face looks like.
No, he wasn't
actually
that angry.
He doesn't look angry, but in his eyes, he'll be, probably be like...
It's not because I generally have a fairly non-expressive thing when I get angry, but I'll start looking at the person, like I look in front of my eyes, like, are you doing? You freaking.
It'll be. It's gonna be hilarious.
You start laughing though.
At the end of the.
So that's extreme.
Now he's getting violent. He's getting
I'm usually the violent person. Okay. How dare you take my job?
Somebody take that business away from him.
What job am I going to have now? Apparently, I can't be violent because you are going to be violent.
Okay, so anyway, what we were going to talk about today, well, I was trying to get some guys on for 40K stuff, and that all fell through, so here we are, 2 days before we got to get this podcast out, trying to render or get the whole thing recorded, and normally I would have the podcast done and ready to go at this time, but we've got a setup back behind us here, we've got a whiteboard to write some stuff on, the dry erase markers over here by Kyle, keep them away from Ryan to repeat.
Because you know I won't actually do something like that.
I won't give alien ears or bunny ears or any kind of ears.
We had a blur out.
So anyway. It was a planet, right?
I guess.
I have no comment.
All right.
Unfortunately, there's a blurry spot over there.
That's something
forever. No
that was completely
it.
Unintentional. To put it that way, that was complete. No, it was. It was complete. I was like, oh,
it probably was. I've done that before. You're right.
I do not mean to do that kind of stuff.
So,
to give an example, funny example, in the Warhammer 40K, the Tau broadsides get the advanced stabilization system. Try abbreviating that on your war on your little army record sheet and see how that goes with the people around you. That's a funny unintentional thing. Advanced stabilization system. Write the abbreviation down.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I wrote that down on a list once. Tell Ross I went, did it. Oh, boy, that's not good.
You have a nice...
Well, I mean, that's association. You could use the same thing.
Perhaps.
You could do A dot...
Because that's actually... Dot, you know. That's actually what association...
Anyway, so what are we doing here, Jason?
Okay, here's what we're going to try to do. In front of us are Star Wars pocket model figures by WizKids.
Where's the nearest lighter so I can torch this, please?
Actually, reach back and here over there if you go carefully. If I can't reach it, can you? You don't need to get it.
You know I was going to.
You probably would sit here to torch them on the internet. Woo, torch the Star Wars pocket model.
You can torch the newer stuff, not the older stuff.
How about all of them?
That's older stuff there.
Okay, that's older. I like the newer stuff.
Wait, you can test and torch the newer stuff or not the older stuff?
He wants me to torch the older stuff.
You're gonna touch the older stuff?
No, I want to.
Technically, older
stuff. Older,
new.
Okay, yeah.
Older in timeline.
Regardless, why is Star Wars Pokemon in front of us? And I think we've bashed it numerous times and probably offended WizKids in numerous other cases.
I
don't need it.
Fine, we won't bring it up.
It's not the WizKids bash episode.
Our goal is not to bash WizKids. Because basically, what the whole thing is, why this is in front of us, way back in episode 1, I forgot to start my timer, we're about 4 minutes into the show. So, way back in episode 1 this season, we set out a challenge was, can we design a better game than, I guess, WizKids, I guess. So, we set up maybe kind of reworking our variations on ideally what would be a fast-playing abstract space combat game, which quickly I failed at in terms of fast-playing.
Yeah.
So We're in various stages here. Ryan's got some ideas down. Kyle's, we've done one playtest with Kyle, some of his ideas, and I've got several pages of stuff here.
He's got several months worth of thinking, and we had only a couple days with
him. Yeah, I've basically thinking about this for a couple months. I've had a little blog in the Army Showcase, so I'll put a link to do in the
show
notes.
And here's a quote: "The capital ship is indestructible."
Yeah, that was an oops. That was before I started figuring out the probabilities of things using inclusion-exclusion principle.
Surakari? Is that how you say it?
Surakari and the Ergul are the two alien races that are fighting in this space. But I've been talking long enough here. Why don't we have... You want to start first? Your game, Kyle? Or do you want to have Ryan start? With some of his ideas, what he's working on.
It doesn't matter too much.
So the idea is to give you just different aspects of how we design how we design games and things issues we're encountering to go along. So,
well, I started off by designing a game that apparently resembles closely Babylon 5. I have not played Babylon 5.
Describe your game. Describe like what's the game like. Who's fighting? What's the idea of how the game's supposed to work? And so
unfortunately,
on.
I hadn't actually decided on the two groups. Right now, I decide more of an alien race versus a more Earth-based race abstract fighting game where you would be moving and then shooting, and you have to move in certain directions. I found out later.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
That was a mistake where I allowed Jason to be pretty much able to go anywhere he wants and kill me from out of my range.
Yeah, it took me about a minute to realize a flaw in his game design that allowed me to have an unstoppable strategy to win the game, but...
And then my second flaw was giving them both the same movement.
Okay, so what about your game? Is it based on just figures or ships or
it's just based on moving and.
So what type of ships are they?
Ships. Right now, I only have fighters, but I planned for
fighters.
I had planned for just a few more types like interceptors, carriers. A couple different bombers, some abilities to maybe repair ships.
So it's basic straight line space combat.
Yeah.
Dogfighting style. Okay.
With some special weapons.
Okay. That's cool.
So explain some of the mechanics to your game. How you resolve damage, how you do the movement, and all that kind of stuff. And
based off a D6 die, I just used, I created random stats, unfortunately, so...
That's where I started, too. That's led to indestructible ships.
Ships weren't indestructible.
But
though.
you gotta start somewhere. You gotta come up, okay, a ship model's gonna have this and these, they're gonna have these stats. So let's start assigning numbers and see how things work out.
Yeah, that was pretty much what I did. I tried to give one group advantages in certain areas over the other group. Like the alien race, I had shields, but a lower defense value, but absorbs a couple hit points from the shields for one for that turn, which is still it can be damaged more. Unlike the defense of the fire group one, which was higher, actually it was lower. It was the same exact
same
amount.
Same defense.
So I actually probably screwed myself by that way, too.
Oh yeah, that comes the whole issue of playtesting and balancing. Guys, are the sides actually equal, or is one side always just gonna rip someone else apart?
My FOF missiles would have been nice if they actually hit.
Yeah, but
I was rolling bad though.
So I guess explain exactly how do you, if I shoot your guy, when someone attacks someone else, how do you resolve that hit? How do you determine how much damage you do, and how do they determine when a guy blows up?
You roll the D6, add the damage of the weapon, compared to the defense, in this case is 2, and you, if it's higher than the defense, you subtract the amount of damage to the health.
Okay.
And in the case with the shields take 2 damage before actually health goes down.
But the shields recharge at the beginning of every turn.
Yes.
So you basically get 2 free health points every turn to absorb.
But that's only for the one turn.
Mm-hmm.
So instead I should have had a lower defense, I think, on them.
Yeah, possibly.
So, because I was...
You can't really have shields that strong, especially on a fighter plane.
Oh, it's supposed to be an alien race where there's... Main thing is is shields.
Okay, shields. So, are the weapons lower, or they have
weapons
for weapons, or are they moderate? Or?
The weapons have a little bit longer range, but are supposed to do less damage
and can be more powerful if they have their charge up.
Yeah, if they have their charge up, but that takes a turn to charge them up, where they can't fire.
So let's talk a little about how the guys moved initially. How are they moving initially?
Any direction they wanted initially, which was a big mistake.
So I guess to compare it to some other games, like, say, War Machine or MechWarrior, where when guys move, or Warhammer 40K, basically you move guys around, you basically move them, say, a couple inches, and they disappear there. You know?
And I guess in space physics, anyways, that would not be possible, at least in our knowledge of it.
Well, it depends on the scale, on how we generally perceive space physics combat to go on. But it also depends on the scale, like in the Babylon 5 game, where the motion of the ship is really more on a scale of capital ship moving. The little fighters can do that, where they can zip around wherever they want, because, you know, they're so small relative to how the ships are. The motion is based on how the capital ships are moving. The fighters are moving so much quicker, they can zip around wherever they want. But in your case, it's fighter on fighter, so it should be slowed down a little bit. So why didn't that work?
Because you kept getting out my range, charging up, getting in within your range, and firing. And for the fact that I had short range, same movement as your guys, which was my other mistake, allowed you to keep on hitting me at longer range without being hit yourself.
So essentially, until I ran onto the edge of the board, I was always situating myself in such a way that I could always be just inside my range, but outside your range. Fire away, boom! One hit Kazda's guy's dead. Boom! Next one goes down. Boom! Next one goes down. Boom! So eventually, everyone's dead. So how'd you address that? What'd you do? I know in the second game, things changed quite a bit.
Second game, we had him move at minimum 1 inch forward, whichever direction they're facing, and you could turn up to 90 degrees in either direction, and move another, you know, how far you want, minimum of 1 inch before you can turn. And that's based on your speed, which is measured in inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's no longer just moving.
And then we found out that was a mistake.
Well, yes and no. I don't think it's necessarily a failure of the movement mechanic. I think it's more of a failure of the initiative mechanic.
Yeah, my initiative.
Describe how the turn sequence went.
The turn sequence went, the higher number went first.
Okay, when the person went first, what did they do?
They had to move first.
They had to move all their ships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to move all their ships, so
that was a mistake, because you kept falling behind me.
Since we're the same maneuverability, I won the initiative about 3 turns in a row, I just kept trailing behind Kyle, mimicking every move he made, basically.
You're picking ones on your initiative rolls.
Yeah, and basically picking off Kyle's fighters one by one.
They survived a while, too. But
yeah.
So
how would you fix that?
You know, at this point, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board and
rethink it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe in the future, I'll have an idea which I'll present to our, you know, another podcast. But as of right now, I really don't have any, you know, specific ideas that would actually work.
Well, what about taking an approach, here's an idea, instead of doing, you move all your ships and then I move all my ships, you do the alternation thing. You know, that's a lot of games do that, where you alternate, move one guy moves one unit, the other guy moves another unit, and just keep doing that.
I guess that could work.
Or if you want to get kind of crazy, what if you did something where, do a HeroScape-style thing, where you basically have little tokens that identify who's going first, second, third, fourth, and so on. And you, at the start of the turn, you randomly place them down face down behind the guys, so you really don't know. So that way, you know, so you as yourselves, your player, know who's going first, second, third, fourth, or something. But the opponent doesn't, and both the guys, say, move, you both move your number one guys, and both fire off your number one guys, something like that. So, you know, it's a little bit of planning and thinking.
Well, it would have to require some testing again.
Yeah.
Gotta remember, created this game in less than 2 hours, pretty much.
Yeah, you kind of did. I kind of said, Kyle, sit down and make a game.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, pretty much.
I really had to do that. I mean, he would have never done it, I'm thinking.
I would have eventually done it.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Just like
How
Ryan.
Long is he eventually? What?
Just like you.
What are you talking about?
We need to sit you down and make
make me create anything. I mean, I am brainstorming it, but it's going to take a long while to write anything down.
Oh, I had some. I had ideas, too.
When I do, it's going to take even longer to write stuff down on paper.
I had ideas too, but I didn't know what my stats were going to be, much less I just knew that these were the type of things I wanted, and how am I going to get to this point?
So let's talk a little bit, Ryan. Why don't you throw out some of the ideas you're working on?
Okay, well, some of the stuff I've been brainstorming is based off a universe that I've been creating through a few books that I'm writing. And this universe is all human. There's no aliens. And I really only have two ships thought up right now, but there'll be more. And I want to have it basically an RPG-style type game to where you get to choose, like, say, to captain like a military ship or a pirate type ship, or it could be a merchant cruiser. And on these ships, you would have, you know, different types of turrets and stuff, and you basically go through this galaxy, and if you're a pirate, say you'd be pirating and stealing other things, and you'd be earning more money, and gaining like more ships and stuff. And let's say your ship is about as big as a Star Destroyer, it can hold quite a few TIEs or whatever ships you steal, and you build your army like that. You only can have one ship though.
So is this like? It seems like a smaller scale of Wing Commander Armada. Except we didn't go in first person. It's pretty much like reminds me of Wing Commander for some reason.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, you're designing like a whole massive universe.
Yeah, it is.
It's Wing Commander Armada. Remember that game?
Yeah, I remember playing it.
Where you build your guys. You go different planets.
Yeah.
You take over planets, build your guys.
But this has nothing to do with planets right now. It's all in space. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever get close to doing planets. Not until I figure out the whole space part out. And, I mean, it'll consist of quite a few ships.
Are there going to be guys, like, coming after you?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it'll be a whole RPG scenario to where you play through the storyline. Like, you head to this one section of the galaxy, and you're going to find something there based on a dice roll.
This reminds me still of Wing Commander 4, which you play, you make certain decisions.
Yeah, well, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, so. It's...
And
have
it's,
you, no,
it's,
have
it's
you
based
played?
On a different universe.
I played a little bit in Commander 4.
Remember, you make certain decisions based on certain things to get you to a certain point.
Yeah.
Based on how you play in your missions. You can actually fail your missions and still continue throughout the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, you can... it's not exactly missions you go on. You only have missions to say if you're a military commander, if you're a captain of a ship. But you only get one ship. That's the thing.
Okay.
You only are in command of one ship. But through that whole ship, you have so many. That ship has so many functions. Like, say it's a battleship, and it's got like 50 turrets with it. And you say you go up against someone who's a pirate. Say I'm the military man. Jason's a pirate. Jason has a pirate ship that doesn't have as many turrets, but he's
I
got.
I can't do a good pirate impersonation.
He's got a whole bunch of fighters coming at me, turret battery that I have, he's got fires shooting at him, and I got turrets shooting at, you know, these fighters, and it's just a whole big battle. And see, one thing I'm trying to figure out is, like I said, this is all brainstorming. One thing I'm trying to figure out is how to keep it simple to where you can do this within a few dice rolls, because you don't want to be doing 50 dice rolls for every turret. So you have to...
You can divide it by sections.
Yeah, you can. But like I said, it's all brainstorming. I'm really just right now working on a universe and seeing how, since you are going through some type of story mode, and all three of us are going to do this, each of us are going to pick a role.
All right, you hear it first. When mine gets done, we're doing a full review of it. Haterade, so sweet.
Yeah, and we have to pick
Haterade,
a name.
This game blows.
We have to pick a name for this, too.
I just think it was humanly possible, but this both sucks and blows.
That's the Simpsons, by the way, if you know where that's from. Keep talking.
Okay.
We're just harassing you.
It's gonna take a few months for it to actually create it, and
so
I'll probably add on to it as it goes
when's
on.
When's the alpha stage going to be completed?
The alpha stage.
The earliest
release of this.
Since I got time, since I won't be subbing, I'll stop subbing within like a week or so, I'll have more time to, you know, create this and do more to it.
A few months.
A couple months. It's going to be a couple
years.
No, not a couple years. Probably a couple months.
So I told Ryan about 3 days ago, he had 2 days to make a game, so it's going to be maybe four and a half months
if
late.
I do something, I'm going to do something really big. So just look for that episode of the podcast
where we're spending a whole month on playing our RPG games.
And we're going to have to come back to this.
We're going
to
think of I don't even know what I'm going to name it yet, because the galaxy, I don't even have a name for the galaxy. So it's like there's a lot in this book that I'm writing that I don't have names for yet. I know the storyline. I know the storyline that leads up to several novels. I just haven't written them yet.
Now, if I want to take Ryan's idea and make it super huge, what I would do is interesting with a game like this, where you've got such a massive RPG style universe. Take almost like a Wikipedia approach to something to it, sort of where. If you had a large enough player base to actually play it, you could almost have the universe exist in the internet, whereas people play different scenarios, it would play out in the universe.
Well, I could think of ways like doing through the Online Army Showcase, I could type up a first intro scenario to where it's like you pick this, and then based on this, on these dice rolls, you get this and that and this and that. And then update, every 2 months or so, and can you continue the storyline so people can keep on doing
that? I think the first thing is for us to actually test that out before you...
Absolutely. Okay. I wouldn't be releasing anything unless it was foolproof.
Otherwise, you have invulnerable destroyers.
Yeah.
Well, let's discuss about that in your game.
I want to get to that in just a minute.
Okay.
Still talking about Ryan's game. He's got a lot of awesome things he's dreaming about, and I'll always dream big. Never shoot for low stuff.
I never do.
I would shoot for huge things,
Let me describe to you one of the ships that I already okay, have in mind.
All right,
it's a ship that has. There's not much to it. It's a military deep space explorer ship, and what it does? It's got this. It's about like a Star Wars frigate is, only cut everything off and leave just the hollow tube and the command center and make it like almost twice as long. And you got a reactor. Don't even think that.
I'm not thinking
anything. You got a reactor. you got a reactor in the thing.
That's a great time for an inappropriate joke, but I'll tell you guys later. Keep talking.
Okay, we're gonna cut this out and then we'll continue.
Never. You would hope he would cut.
Should have said something offensive. We don't cut something out on this show. Keep talking.
But think of, think of something like a pen.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You
know? That's fine. No.
Okay.
The pen's a little bit. Can I just borrow this? I'm not gonna draw.
Oh boy. It's gonna be a disaster.
I'm not gonna draw on the board.
Okay.
Take something. Something like it's a ship like pen shape, and it's got.
So are you saying it's like one of those old what is those rockets that they used to launch into space?
No, a bit more detail because it's humongous.
Well, that's the type of design where it's
just bigger. Ship. But the thing
it's
is,
retro
it,
sci-fi.
It has
we're retro using you. Oh, no.
It has. The only human areas that it contains is like the front end, to where it can come off and separate from itself just in case it falls under attack, to where the reactor is about to explode, that it can separate and skedaddle off. But it doesn't have much to it. But one thing it does have is the reactor inside builds up energy, and it pretty much is its own. Super weapon to where it can point itself at a ship and blow a hole right through it.
It's got a massive beam.
So I have a question.
Beam cannon in the front or something.
So what in this universe would that be necessary to have that ship? I'm just wondering.
Well, like an explorer. It's an explorer or a military type vessel. There's also certain models that have been like kidnapped by pirates or.
So I mean, I'm just saying, like, what type of people would normally use it besides like, just like people explorers or
yeah, it's
people
an, it's explorer on type ship. It can be
colonists kind of thing. Are there colonies around in space?
Mm-hmm. There are certain colonies.
All right, I was just wondering what kind of just long ship. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are other ships besides.
Well, I mean, obviously, but I want to know what kind of actual, purpose it would actually serve. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, like I said, it has Not many ships would want to face it because of the ultimate weapon it has, but besides that, it only has a few torrents, and it has no fighter ships within it.
Here's my other question then. Mm-hmm. If the reactor, only is used to propel it, right?
It's used to propel it in deep space, and it's also used for its super weapon.
No, I mean, so it's actually a separate thing as a weapon, not the actual part of the reactor engine. That's where you got me confused.
It's both. The technology is both.
I'll accept it. It can be used as,
hey, it's my universe.
It is your universe, and as I said, I'll accept it. So what would prevent someone from just, with a small little fire, making sure it stays, in the front area, or
in the back?
Wherever there isn't the weapon. I mean, obviously, wouldn't a couple group of small fighters be able to maneuver easily mm-hmm. around it?
That's why it does have it has a few torrents, but that's what I said. It's basically used as an explorer ship.
Okay.
It is military, but it's pretty much used for exploring. And one thing it does, since it does have a reactor in it, it is heavily
armored.
Yeah, it is heavily armored. It is heavily shielded. So if you're going to have fighters attack it, yes, they can destroy it like that, but you're going to have a big explosion, and it's going to take a lot of hits for it to actually get hit. It is possible. It does happen.
Okay. One more question. Is there any kind of weapons that would, cause the reactor to drain?
To drain it? No.
Drain the reactor.
The kind of energy resources that they have in this galaxy... this reactor.
No, what I mean is, unfortunately, I'm referring to Wing Commander for part of my.
Okay.
I know it's a completely different universe, but there's a weapon that's called a leech, which will, when shot and it hits the target, it will actually cause the.
It'll take the energy from it.
It'll start, drain the energy and
like
cause
that.
It to.
I got nothing in the universe for anything.
Nothing
like that.
Okay.
And another thing to answer your question is, what else? What other defense it has, just say there's a whole, armada of fighters that just start attacking just one ship. It does have an escape mechanism to where, the reactor's going to blow up.
Yeah.
All the humans come out alive from it. Just
hopefully.
From that
be picked up by the fighters.
Ship.
Yeah.
Well, no, see, the explosion is so humongous, and this thing has covert shielding to where it's it just takes off.
Put it in writing and show us how it works, and you know what? Well, accept
exactly.
It.
Right now, it's brainstorming, but that's one of the couple of ships that I've been thinking of.
I guess now I've set a world record for the longest time. Jason's been shut up on the podcast. That's that single dang thing. Well, the reason I wanted to talk about it before we got in this theoretical debate over science fiction physics of weapons and tactics.
Fair enough. I was just kind of wondering what his idea.
Oh, that's fair enough. I'm not saying anything wrong with
this. I need more of this because I mean, in order to make this thing, I'm going to need questions.
Because
like that.
The reason I was going to is Ryan's got all his crazy fun ideas he's tossing out here. That's how you stir it out. I want this to happen, this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. And these guys have these weapons, these abilities. And how did that ever end up for you?
It didn't work out.
Yeah, because it just because you had
everything complicated everything else.
No, like I said, I want this to be fun, but I want to keep it simple.
You know what? Why don't you start off with a small,
that's what I plan.
Small
to do.
Scenario, mm-hmm. With. Just certain things, and then, later on,
expand
once those rules work, then you have a list of the actual ships, and then you do another scenario and keep on doing that.
Exactly, that's what I plan to do.
Okay.
And I'd say it's a bad thing. Look through my little book here, I got all my rules written down. I see there's several sections that are completely crossed off, well, that doesn't work anymore. That was just too much.
Like your indestructible capital ships didn't work out?
That hasn't been crossed off yet. That's in rules of negotiation, so...
Negotiation. I'm sorry, there wasn't much negotiation there. It was, let's fire on this capital ship. Wow.
I got to roll a 9 and a d10 to inflict damage. Miss.
And then it only gave you 1 point of damage.
Yeah, so I got to do it 6 more times. No good.
One hit.
So let's talk about my game a little bit then.
All right.
Must we? Okay, let's do it.
Wow. You haven't even played it yet.
Yeah, we haven't. Ryan has a chance to play mine yet.
It's actually kind of fun.
Okay.
It could be. So I was trying to come down and do a direct competitor to Star Wars Pokemon, except make it a little more complex. But still, the idea of being able to play it in a half an hour. Yeah, that didn't work.
No, not the half-hour part.
I had this huge fleet set up thinking, oh, let's take a half an hour. We played like a four-ship battle with one capital ship and three fighters in a half an hour.
40 minutes.
40 minutes, I guess? Yeah, probably about that. So, I mean, obviously some of that was debating our rules and deciding how to fix the invulnerable capital ship.
And the fact that your firebomb did so much damage to everything else.
Well, that's another balance issue. That's something that worked in time.
Yeah. Oh, there goes all your ships, Kyle. Oh, thank you.
But I'm basically, because I'm also creating my own universe, like Ryan. Mine's set called the Masters of Planets. It's based on that kind of just evolved over the years. And there's two races, the Surikar and the Irigul. And the whole idea of this is, I'm basically the direct opposite of Ryan, where Ryan's all humans. Mine is no humans. I don't want any humans to be in the story.
And I'm somewhere in between.
Just because the reason I want to get away from having no humans is because whenever humans show up in these games, often, to my opinion, results in they're always kind of the same. Like futuristic humans always have fancy machine guns and maybe little laser weapons. In the past, they always have basic things. So when you create these crazy alien races, you completely break out the stereotypes. Not that there's anything wrong with the stereotypes.
Most of my weapons are still pretty close to. Yeah. Haven't increased that much.
See, that's what I'm trying to get away from. Completely.
I do have to say something about my universe. There are humans, but that doesn't mean there aren't other beings.
Well, it's just
not the alien type beings that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say.
All right.
Because my guys, essentially, in the whole storyline, when I get to the ground fighting, it's basically you've got groups. The more powerful warriors control hundreds of little guys that run around. So it's almost like the more civilized, intelligent creatures control like hundreds of little animals that they fight with. There's a lot of Zerg influence in them. And then, because the Surikari are very insect arachnid like, the Irukul are very dinosaur saurian like, where they have some kind of like triceratops.
So are those ships like actual living ships then?
Probably not.
They're dinosaur like, kind of like from Sathura. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's like based off Jumanji.
I know what it is.
Yeah, I know of it, but...
But the aliens they face are, like, reptilian-type race, so that when you say that, I'm thinking something like that.
Yeah, they're basically a mix of more conventional-looking dinosaurs and dragons that... Mm. So some of them breathe fire and crazy stuff like that, and they have a lot of poison and things, and they also strap guns to the guys, so they have... it's a big, messy thing. But the whole point is, what I did originally... Okay, now I'm still lost a train of thought. Okay, so...
That's a first...
No, it really isn't. I've done that several times in the past couple episodes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought Ryan was being sarcastic.
No, I'm the one who usually loses.
No, he's always off track.
He is?
I'll keep talking about 700 things at once. Also, my brain just locks up.
My brain just locks up.
I'll just say random crap when my brain locks up.
And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, but yeah, the whole idea was to create a abstract space combat game. I eventually ditched the whole campaign strategic map and switched just to a tactical map, which is this little thing I got in front of me, which is a little 5-space board, where ships move from section to section, and kind of like Star Wars Pocket Model, ships in the same section fight each other. It's all entirely D10 based, so all the attacks, all your armor defenses and things are all based on rolling D10s. I did that to give myself more numbers to work with versus D6s. Obviously, you know, D10s are less common dice than people have just laying around. They're a little more expensive to buy. You get 10 of them for $5. Well, okay, they're actually about the same price. the cheap ones, anyway.
But yeah, most people generally don't buy metal ones.
Well, these are just, you know, basic blue and white. There's some really beautiful looking dice out there. If you ever go to the dice store and look at the dice rack, I mean, there's some beautiful things.
You visit a dice store.
Well, the game store still has a whole rack of dice, you know.
I don't think there's even such a thing.
Or you could go online.
If there was, I'm sure you would find it, Jason.
Yeah, because they have, you know, they're like green with these like gold and green and gold metallic looks. They're beautiful. But the reason that we keep making fun of the invulnerable capital ships is essentially what happened is ships have a structural integrity that essentially represents how much they are resilient to take damage, and the ships at the time they still do, but it's changed a little bit. Have an active armor system to it. It's kind of, where the armor plating can kind of move itself around according to the, how it senses ships or shots are coming in on it, and cool. basically take amount different amounts of damage. And it'll basically, eventually, you build a when the new rules, you get so many armor points per turn, you can allocate them to various incoming attacks. So when someone's, if you know someone's firing a massive weapon at you, you can direct the armor, in theory, direct the armor to where the shot would come in. And take and reduce the damage from that, or something like that.
Tell them how many dice you could roll the first time for the capital shift.
Well, because yeah, how the armor system worked is basically you first you had a base structural integrity value that was fixed, and then based on the capital shift involved, you had a certain amount of armor dice that you would roll. Initially, it was for each attack, and you had an armor score you had to get. So you'd roll, say in this case, and look at the Surikari destroyer. He has five by default had five armor dice with a score of five. But that means for every of these five dice that came up five plus, his structural integrity would be increased by one for that attack. So I just rolled, I got two of them were five pluses, so that would give him a structural integrity of 12. The problem is, when you start factoring a lot of the weapons in, it ended up being like the because I resolved damage. Here's the crazy, this is the crazy damage equation, which may change in time. The damage inflicted is the weapon strength plus sensor bonuses plus target lock plus a D10 roll minus target structural integrity minus target armor bonus.
That's not that crazy.
It requires a small math degree to solve it. But yeah, it's basically adding a whole bunch of things bonuses together and subtracting a whole bunch of things off. But the end result is because the structural integrity values were so high and the weapon strength values were so low.
And then the armor.
Yeah, you either roll 8s and 9s on D10s, even do 1 or 2 points of damage to a ship.
Then if you got 5 of those armor, if you got all 5, you were invulnerable.
Yeah, you'd be invulnerable.
You wonder if the races just go to fighting, and then after 7 hours of not damaging each other, they're like, what the heck, let's just go home.
Yeah, look at this. If it wasn't for the fact that Surikari home rolls like falling apart on itself, they would, but... So... Things have changed in response to that. One, we made a negative modifier to all structural territories for every ship, just reduce them down. Because even if we brought out the battleships, the battlecruisers are the most powerful ones, those would have such high structural integrities, they'd be almost invulnerable, not factoring in their armor bonus. So
you didn't even bring those out last time, did you?
No, I didn't bring those out. We only had a destroyer.
What are those structural integrities?
Bases of like 12. And they have like 6 or 7 armor dice or something. Like, let me read the numbers off.
The Surikari
battlecruiser has a base structural integrity of 12 with 5 armor dice with a score of 3 or plus they gotta get.
3 or plus?
Yeah, the Eregul had a base of 11 with 5 armor dice, 3 plus also. So you're talking probably 13, 14 structural integrity when these things are being shot at, which is makes them nearly invulnerable. Even the most powerful weapon in the game, the firebomb, would require you to roll a 9 to do any damage to them against. So, that's one of those whole things. You start figuring out the numbers, you realize, you know, I didn't do any math behind this initially, and it's like, this is not working. It's simply not going to work. So, other things we had issues with. Why don't we talk a little about the fighter evasion. Well, let me explain what it is. And then we'll talk a little bit about fighter evasion. The idea of what I did is I'm kind of... borrowing a page from Babylon 5 Call to Arms, which borrowed a page from Warhammer 40,000, so it's not really stealing. They did it too. In determining the idea is fighters, you know, are obviously small and agile. The big guns that are used for capital ships can basically, fighters can kind of dodge those pretty easily.
Yeah.
So the idea was if a fighter got hit with an attack, they have a certain evasion score that allow them, you roll a certain value, okay, they just evade that attack altogether, they take no damage. So why don't you explain the issue you had with that, the way I was doing it
initially.
Well,
my issue was that if you're actually going to take a hit, you'd automatically be damaged. Mm-hmm. The first thing would be to actually roll, see if you evaded, an attack. And then, you know, if you got hit, you would take damage instead of, you got hit. Oh, I evaded that hit,
Because what it was when I fired at a fighter, I rolled to see if I damaged the fighter initially. And if I did, then the person who was controlling the fighter would roll their evasion check, which, like I said, is backwards. Because I was doing just like how Babylon 5 was doing it, which, frankly, now that I think about it, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You should roll to see if they evade the attacks first, and then if they don't evade them, then roll for damage against them.
Well, I can't... Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played the Babylon 5 game, so I have no comment on how it works.
But, you know, that's the idea. That's the whole idea of, okay, so I had this idea of how things should work, but then you realize when you start playing with it, okay, this isn't working, or this is confusing, or this is not, you know, it's not as good as it should be. So it's another whole other step. Sure, you've got I got a whole bunch of numbers written down, a whole bunch of formulas for resolving damage, but then you got to go, does it actually work?
And overall, I think it works pretty well. I'm sorry, you were saying?
I was going to say something, I realized I cut you off, so do you have anything to say?
Well, you cut me off and the train just disappeared. I mean, it was on the tracks going on its merrily way, and it suddenly, you know, turned away for a second, the train's gone. Apparently the train
was gone a long time ago. Weren't you paying attention?
I'm sorry, was there a wall right there? Because you just ran into it.
The gates are down, the lights are flashing, the train ain't coming. Over the weekend, my brother and I were looking up those jokes, how various ways to call people stupid, and that was one of them. But,
I think that just went way
over
my
head. The
light
is on, but no one's home?
Yeah, that's one of them. The lights are on, no one's home.
Oh, that's an old one.
He slipped sharp as a bar knife?
He slipped into...
You're about as sharp as a bar knife.
He slipped in the gene pool and the lifeguard was at lunch or something like that.
Oh yeah, this is
good. I had a feeling this was going to go
this
downhill.
Is going downhill big time.
Okay. This is a disgrace to our podcast.
So we're going to have to come back to my game later because there's a lot of things we changed. Like,
I got a question. Are you going to eventually make this like somewhat simpler, or are you going to keep the battle style like this?
I just keep the battle style like
this. I like the battle style how it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't like rock, paper, crap.
As we call Star Wars pocket model to some extent. I don't know if I just said that. I don't know if I initially... Yeah, it's... Okay. Kyle steals my jokes. That's all it is.
I didn't steal your joke. I was just referencing your joke, which you already made.
But yeah, So what I'm doing now, we'll get in some... I won't get into horrible math to it, because it's actually going to require me to write a computer program to solve it. But to fix the whole numbers issue, I've actually gone down and started doing some probability math across here. to figure out how even are the sides actually balanced.
So I'm going to... How did that work?
Well, I haven't got the... I'm still... You see, I started to write down the inclusion-exclusion principle equation down here and realized I made a mistake halfway through. So... What I'm doing is you figure out the base strength of a weapon, and based on the average structural integrity of a ship, you can figure out, you know, what's the probability you're going to do damage to it.
This is basic statistics, except it's very, very big.
This would be counting probability theory and stuff like that. Yeah. That's like about a second level computer science course if you're curious what level it is. So, you know, you would figure out the probabilities of each of the weapons here. For example, I was looking at the Ergol frigate attacking a Sercari frigate. Its main weapon had a 50% chance of hitting with base numbers, and its little sub-anti-fighter guns each had a 20% chance of hitting. And you can use, like I said, what's called the inclusion-exclusion principle to determine what's the probability that one of these guns is actually going to hit the target. I don't have the time here to do a little short example, but if case you're curious, you can look it up and if you know about our probability theory. And you can do that with every set of weapons against every, you know, various average defenses, and determine, in theory, considering the whole, taking the whole fleet in account, the probability that any ship should hit over, you know, average of any ship hitting for one fleet should be about the same for the other. And also the same idea, same probability of damage they're going to do should be the same for the other, and so on. So, I don't know, we're running out of time here. We're getting close to our time limit. I guess we'll definitely come back to this in the future. We got more things done. Ryan's got a lot of stuff he's got.
I got a lot of work to do.
I got a lot of work to do anyway.
I just added on to my schedule now.
I might change this to that storyline that I had before anyways. Somehow.
We'll hear about it in a future episode. So you can continue following along my development on the Army Showcase at tabletopbattlefield.com.
You can't remember?
I have like 70, 80 pages.
If you don't know it now...
It'll be in the show link, because I think it's abstract_space_combat, but I'll put in the show links. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I just had a thought.
Hold on. Wait, people. Just a moment. Ryan has a thought.
Well, that went away, no. No, I was... Will you stop looking at me?
Just talk. You can stare at numbers. Not Kyle. Stare at numbers.
That's just as bad. I was thinking, just going through all the brainstorming stuff, you realize how much time and effort it actually takes to make these type of universes, this type of stuff, even if it is a load of crap.
It does make you appreciate things a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And appreciate big piles of crap.
Yeah.
But you can imagine, even the little bit of just simple playtests that we've done realize how hard it is to create really a balanced game.
Yes.
Imagine, like, we've been starting to play War Machine over there. Imagine the amount of playtesting design had to go in a game like that, where it's got gigantic, you know,
it was taking
complex rules. And
I think it'd take months, even
years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And even then, you know, the whole idea, when even if you have 100 people playtesting it, as soon as you release the game to the public, where thousands and tens of thousands of people play it, they're going to find more stuff with it. And you're going to have to release...
MechWarrior.
Yeah, MechWarrior. Star Wars Pocket Model, the FAQ is the longer than the rules the first day the game is released. So things like that, you know, where you just got to keep adding to it. It's a huge process. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, if you look at... Just look at the actual StarCraft, the computer game. I mean, they kept... After the game came out 10 years ago, they had to keep releasing updates to the units to fix little patches and realize, okay, this combination of units was too powerful. We got to tone it down a little bit. But, you know...
Yeah.
I guess is that it then?
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
My thought.
Well, usual questions, comments, send them over to Jason at rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter with usually my daily random thought of the day at twitter.com/TT_battlefield.
And I signed up for Twitter.
Did you using it yet?
No, I haven't used it, but I signed up.
I saw you there.
I have not signed up yet.
I have a question because I really don't know how to use it because I'm trying to figure it out and I'm just like, okay, I'm trying to hook this up with my cell phone. It's not working, and you know, so troubleshooting problems. Go to Jason. Ask him.
I'll help you out after we're done here. Yeah. So, with that, then I guess we're done. So,
I'm Ryan,
and I'm Kyle,
and I'm Jason. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapefighter.com and is used in their Creative Commons license. I totally forgot to mention I'm wearing a Tabletop Battlefield shirt, didn't I? Oh, well.
We'll put it in the credits.
Yeah. So I guess I might as well mention, I don't know, it's not really publicly available or anything, but I've got a Tabletop Battlefield shirt, the front and the back to it. Yeah, that's all.
Well, you know what, you should...
You should take, like, a picture of it, forward and back.
Do they have that option on wherever you got it, like Cafe Press does?
Perfection.com?
Where you can actually post it on there for it to be sold, and you get whatever additional profits.
Yeah, that's down the road. This is actually a prototype shirt. It's actually a little bit, didn't turn out quite as nice as I would have liked it. The Tabletop Battlefield is kind of off the side a little bit, so if I have my arm closed up, you can't really see the left side of the logo and the back. You don't see half the Mac.
You know what would be kind of cool? Maybe instead of blue, if you had like...
you need something white more that stands out. Like, I like red.
White and purple. You could actually have purple.
Yeah.
Purple.
Purple would look nice, honestly.
I think white and red would be nice.
Red would be nice. I'm just saying there's a couple ideas.
You can customize your own shirt. How about that?
It'd also be kind of fun to do almost like maybe like a uniform style look.
Oh, maybe you should.
But I mean, you can't do that though with this because you only get, you know, you either get a square so big or a small little pocket thing so big here. And so you can't do like a full, you can't do like a full length stripe down it.
Yeah, I was going to make my own shirt. I've still yet, Jay, to finish my freaking picture. Because he still hasn't finished it. I have a nice quote ready for it from C.S. Lewis. And, you know, I was going to put it right under the one where
quote from C.S. Lewis?
If the universe has no meaning, then we should never know it has no meaning, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just as if there was no light in the world and no creatures with eyes, they should never know it was dark. Dark would be without meaning. So I was going to put
that's deep.
All right. Well, again, we're going to head out here. So that's about it for this week.